Hello, everyone. I'm Marcy Howard, and for the next hour, we're going to have a discussion about faith. The mission of About Faith is to gain peace and understanding with one another through answering questions about a variety of faiths. We're not here to debate right or wrong. We're here to gain knowledge and understanding of one another through respectful conversations with faith leaders about their own journey of faith. And today we are fortunate to have Rabbi Jana. Welcome, Rabbi Jana.
Hi, everybody.
And we are very fortunate to have Imam Islam. Welcome, Imam.
How are you, everyone?
I have some questions today because about peace, and I'd like a conversation about peace today. There's been so much happened to us during 2020, and in fact, the whole world. And I think that today, as we address peace, maybe we could bring a little peace. So this morning, I have some questions here. And before we actually get started, I'd like to have a conversation about defining peace. As we talk about peace today, what are we talking about? Would one of you like to start the conversation on that?
I will. I'm going to pull rank. I have a doctoral degree in linguistics, so I'd like to talk about it for a moment from the linguistic perspective. And the sweet thing is that in Hebrew and in Arabic, the word is very related. The two languages are sister languages, and the word is related. In Hebrew, the word is shalom, and in Arabic, Imam, please correct me, my pronunciation is salam, is peace. And it has to do with, it comes from the root. Both of those languages have, the Semitic languages all have three-letter roots as their core. And the root has to do with completeness. So when you think about peace, it's not about absence of war, although it can cover that as well. But that's not the primary thing. It has to do with a completeness in yourself and in the community and in the world, that it so that you, in a sense, it doesn't mean that you have everything, but that you are happy with what you have in the world. And I think that that's what I think of when I think of pursuing peace, pursuing shalom. Imam, did I get that correct about the Arabic?
Yes. I go little detail, okay, about the salam. He says salam is one of the attribute of the God. Like as-salam. His name, as-salam, is man peace. And you know that the paradise, the heaven is also, is called, one of the, his name also as-salam. You know, in the Quran, Allah says, Allahu yadu'u ila daris salam. Allah invite the human being toward the as-salam. As-salam means the heavens, the paradise, you know. So in the this world is the short, if the heaven, the like, you know, after hereafter is long eternal life. If you get there the peace, that this is a real peace. This world, you know, you sometimes get the peace, even yourself. You happy, you sad, you wealthy, you not wealthy, you sick, you healthy, you are young, you always like up and down. But the, you know, the hereafter, when a person go to the heaven in Jannah, he peace forever, you know. So how we get the peace? So God tell us, I tell you, the first human being, the prophet Adam, when he put his soul is there, and first thing his command, he tell him, teach him, go make the salam, say to assalamu alaikum, like the malaika, you know, the angels of God. And then one of the our hadith in the saying of the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he say, you do, you know, the something like four thing, then you get the real peace from the God. So number one, tafshu salam, spread the salam. Like when you meet someone, assalamu alaikum. Or also you declare, you announcement, I'm I want to peace with you. I'm not want to any kind of fight, any kind. I wish you get the peace. That you have to declare. Assalamu alaikum. So tafshus salam. That means I've say I'm on to peace with you. That means I'm not say the bad word to you. I'm not fighting with you. That I'm announced. I have the peace. You have the peace. And second thing, tuti'imu tu'am. You know, you think you get the peace. Another, your neighbor or someone is hungry or she's hungry. They suffering. How do you get the peace? If someone is your human being, your friend, your brother or sister, they are dying, they are hungry. So you cannot get the peace, real peace inside. So that is a tutimu tu'am. Feed the people. And then say, you know, so you pray with the God, then the, you know, you do all this time in daytime, you take care of the human being, all this, but you have to also connection with the God, you know, and it's at that time nobody is see what he's doing, and then you ask him peace. He is the peace. His name peace. He give the peace. Nobody can give peace other than he. When he have happy with us, then he send the peace. He send the peace. So when he pray to him, then he finally he give the peace to us. And finally peace, if we do this kind of thing, he finally allow us to put in the peace in the Jannah heavens. So we have to take care of the human being. We always tell the guys, you know, I want peace with you. I wish you get the peace, but same time, you know, we have to, I told also like how we get the peace, you know, the Muslim, the Islam is called, you know, Islam means peace. So when you submit your will to will of the God, that means what God want from me. If each and every moment, God want anything from us. Like if I leave this world as the servant of the God, you know? So that means God want from us, we not fight, we not do anything wrong. So we live as the servant of the God. So that's it. If we live like as God want from us, that means we submit our will of the God, then God send up the peace.
Lots of wisdom in that. Thank you for that. What does your faith teach about how we get peace?
Yeah. But I just say, you know, when I follow the commandment of God, and it's completely not in it, choose and pick, you know. Choose and pick means, you know, I like some commandment of God, I took it, someone are like, leave it. No, this is not the way. We have, because when something, I can see whatever in my is my room, what I can see in front of my eyes, but I cannot see what behind the wall, what is the outside the wall. So, but God know everything. Yes. I don't know, any human being don't know what is outside, yeah? But the God know everything. So he told us, if you do this, then you get the peace. The problem is us, we think, oh, this one look like the good, I took it. This one, oh, not good, not for me. This is not fit for me, so I leave it. So yeah, I think this one now, most of the people, you know, they not follow the 100% the commandment of the God. But God command us, you know, in the Quran say, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter in Islam, enter is God command is completely like A to Z. So whatever God say, you have to listen and obey, then you get the peace this world and hereafter.
The parallel to what the Imam was saying in Jewish tradition is that we have commandments, and we follow God's commandments, and we find peace in our lives and peace in the world. Many of the commandments have to do with, so the way you've heard me say this before, I think that the way I see the commandments and the lessons that we learn from scriptures is that it teaches us to take care of ourselves. It teaches us to take care of each other, and it teaches us to take care of the world. And if we follow the guidelines, because they're really good guidelines, we follow those guidelines, whether we're doing it because God commanded us to, which in itself could be enough, or if it's because we look at them and we see that they're beautiful and they make sense and they will help. So if you follow the guidelines, I think that you will find peace in yourself and peace in the world because you will be taking care of each other. Some of the guidelines, for example, have to do with the way we take care of animals or the way we take care of, I have to tell you, this week on the Jewish calendar, we have a birthday for the trees. And most people will wonder, why do you have a birthday for trees? But trees are a very important part of the completeness in the world also, and we have to take care of them. For one thing, one of the commandments is that we're not supposed to eat the fruit of a tree until the tree is at least 3 years old. And how do you know when the birthday is of a tree? Well, we have a day on the calendar that tells us when the birthday of the tree is, so that we know to let the tree have a little childhood before we start plucking the fruit off of it and start eating it. So, you know, you think about it and it makes some sense, but I think finding completeness and peace, inner peace, and is following the guidelines. There's some wonderful guidelines about pursuing peace by taking care of each other, always having to provide for those who are less fortunate, whether they're poor or hungry, as the imam said, that if you take care of them, you know, can you hear me? Sorry about that. You know that every time you do something nice for someone else, whatever the consequences to you, in other words, not everybody says, oh, thank you. Thank you for helping me cross the street. As long as it was something that they needed. There's maybe a terrible, terrible example. If you give food to those who are hungry, you bring food, make a donation to a food bank, for example, it helps in the completeness, the shalom of the world. I think those are examples. Sorry, I got off track for a minute.
When I'm listening to the both of you, I realize that even in the Christian traditions, it's the same thing. We don't get to pick and choose what we want to be able to do to have peace. We try to do all of it as it comes into our path and we have the opportunity to do it. And it's bringing compassion and love and service to others and in the worship of God. So we all three have spoke about different faith traditions, and yet we are speaking of the same traditions when in regards to peace. That gives me great comfort and celebration. So I appreciate that. I have a personal question for the both of you.
I have one question.
Yes.
So like the Judaism and Islam, like when meet, they say, Assalamu alaikum,
Shalom. Aleichem. Right, what Shalom aleichem.
So what the Christianity say anything about that?
We don't have a particular word that we use for that that sets it apart. What we say is God's peace. God's peace be with you. And so we recognize it as something.
So it is like they practice it, like every person will meet each other, they practice it like this? What?
Yes, we do have
practice.
We do have practices. And that's one of the things that I wanted to ask both of you too, is what are the physical practices that you have about peace? Some of ours is conversation is a lot for the Christians. We try and use the words that Jesus had left us, and we try and understand the words that were given to us in the Old Testament, the Torah.
Hebrew scriptures. We like to say Hebrew scriptures. It's not old. It's still very fresh and new.
Yes, I realize that. And I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I say this?
Hebrew scriptures. Our scriptures were all written in Hebrew, so it's easy to say it that way.
The Hebrew scriptures. And so the definition and design of peace for us comes from an understanding of the Bible and how it is written. And peace comes by our behavior, by our forgiveness, by our mercy and grace, the attributes that we feel that we've been told that God has as far as that. The tradition is to try and live that out through our lives so that instead of seeing what we are, we become the parts of the character of God here on the earth toward others. And that's our peace.
So Imam, one moment, if I may help, just a teeny thing, going back to the linguistics of this, that when people in English say goodbye, it was, some scholars think that it was God be with you, that it was kind of a shortened version of God be with you, and which in a sense was wishing peace to people without, but there,
like, you know, like when we meet here each other, like we say good morning and good afternoon and goodbye, like we know that, but the Muslim, we're supposed to say the assalamu alaikum, like it is obligatory. It is when you meet in other Muslim, it's not that you're optional. You have to say assalamu alaikum, with the salam, you know. Mm-hmm. And also when departure, you not say goodbye, you say ma'assalam, salam with you, peace be.
Isn't that beautiful? I mean, could you imagine if everybody every day were wishing every person you speak to peace?
And it would enter the paradise with the peace. You know, this Arabic is very word. Say, tafshu salam, tuti'imu tu'am, asallu wa nas bin niyam, tadukhul al-jannata bis salam. It's Arabic, it's mean, like spread the peace, feed the people, and you pray, then the most of the people is sleep. That means between you and God is nobody is there. Like you is in very communication at that time. You ask whatever he will grant you, and then say, if you do this three part, then God you give it to four, number four, it say allow you to go in paradise with the peace.
And that is that's a bedtime prayer? That's part of what's said at bedtime? Or no? Is that what I understood?
No, this one is like pray. No, this one is like is the last part of the night, even before our obligation. This is not the obligatory prayer. This one is the optional prayer.
Optional prayer. But it's usually, it's sometimes at bedtime sometimes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is like a bedtime, but end of the bedtime. Like
okay,
it means...
Yeah.
Around nowadays, like you can say, in 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Ah, okay. That sounds like me, that you go to bed at 4 in the morning. I like this. But it's also before you wake up, it's kind of in the middle of the night prayer.
Yes, yes.
So, okay.
Oh, beautiful.
We have something similar. I like this.
Yeah.
So that was an aside to go back to the question that you had asked earlier, and the fact that that is a commandment. I love that. I really like that.
And it's just that one, like if when a person like say like each and every person when he meet salam, and that means he's not the hypocrite, you know, but what means say whatever is hard say by mouth, you know.
That's right.
I say, oh, I wish you, and I go behind and say something. No, this, that is how it declared. You have to say, that means whatever is hard, you have to say real, not.
You have to be it and not just say it. Yeah, this is true. So imagine, Marcy, this is how life works then. So in Hebrew, you say shalom, for example. That's how you say hello. And so it's the same thing, that you're greeting each person with peace and you truly mean it. When you speak to in the other podcast days, and you speak to the Hindu and they're saying namaste, it's saying, I'm seeing you who you are, and you see me who I am. Please accept me who I am, and I see who you are. I'm wishing peace. I'm wishing you that, and I'm coming to you as who I am. And it's a very powerful way to greet each person. So think about it as one-on-one, peace as a one-on-one thing, and that's a very powerful thing. Thank you.
It is a very powerful thing, and our words set the intention of our heart. And so if we're saying the words of peace, we're saying the words of blessing to someone, it not only blesses them, but it changes our hearts. It makes us more compassionate and more a person of blessing and peace. That's great. I wish we had a mandate of tradition like that, because I think that it's a healing process for that. The question I wanted to ask you that's a personal question is there a tradition or an understanding in your faith that brings you peace? Is there a particular thing that is a tradition in your faith, and you personally have used it a lot to create a peace and a balance in your life?
So let me answer a brief thing. Sometimes people ask me, what's my favorite holiday? I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the only time that there is peace. But when you take a day off every week, or time during your day for prayer, but certainly Shabbat, the Sabbath, if you take a day off, the greeting on Shabbat, on the Sabbath, is always Shabbat Shalom, that you have a Sabbath of peace, that your Shabbat is filled with peace. And we begin our Shabbat Friday evening. It goes from Friday evening at sundown until Saturday night at nightfall. But at our congregation, and I'm not the only one who does that, but we start off by recognizing that all of the stress is left outside the door, that you don't get to have any of that. There's no to-do lists. You have to leave all of that alone and just take a deep breath and let it out slowly. And you feel like there's this, there's a tradition that we have an added soul to our day that is a peaceful soul. We don't say that it is, but knowing that we are allowing for a day with no stressors. And if you can even take a moment of that, I know that in today's world, many people don't feel that they can do that. And kids have soccer games and they're always on Saturday or, you know, whatever it is. But if you can take a day that or moment in time to just breathe and have some peace, I think that that's a very helpful thing. And I have already mentioned some of the ways of finding peace is how we take care of ourselves and take care of each other's. They take care of each other. So I think that that's always a time that I find brings peace. And there's, if you go back to the scriptures, you will find quotes for and guidelines for all of this about how to behave in holy ways that will bring you peace, that it says seek peace and pursue it. I mean, there are lots of ways that we are commanded to do this, but I also want you to take some time. And I love the peace that I find on Shabbat.
You know, I think anytime I fulfill God, commandment of God, I feel it. I feel peace. If I do something with someone good, I feel peace inside. So that's, you know, you feel it. When you do something good, you feel it, the peace. Because the same thing, the is peace. Who sent the peace? The God. So God knows what I'm doing. So if I do something good, God sent the peace in my heart. And I'm feel it. So if every person do something good, he feel the peace. Other hand, if you do something, if I not fulfill the God commandment, I feel inside something is bad. I'm not feel peace. No, I'm like that. I'm not feel the peace. For example, if you know, like every day we have prayer, like have 6:15 at the mosque. So I wake for 5:30 and go to the mosque and pray. If one morning I cannot awake, so I feel inside no peace. No peace. Is feel it. Nobody saying it, nothing, but I'm feel it. I'm not get the peace. So I try to say, like, if we do something good for God, and something, it is not for God, it is for myself. If I do something, in the Quran say, man amila salihan fali nafsi, wa man amila fa alayha. If you do something good, it is good for you. Result for you. If you feed someone good, you get the result, you get the reward from God, it come back to you. If it is to something bad, someone, you get the bad result from the God. So that means if you do something good, you feel the peace. If you do something wrong, you not feel the peace.
This brings me to a question that I would like you to be able to bring through your faith tradition. Is it possible to have peace in today's world? You know, we keep hearing over and over all the bad things that are happening and all the awful things that are happening and the people who are harming other people. And there's so much telling us from the external, the outside, that we live in a chaos. And is it possible, this peace that you both are talking about on the inside, is it possible to have peace in today's world?
Yes. You know, I say beginning, the problem is that, I say there is a Muslim, good Muslim, bad Muslim, good Judaism, bad Judaism, good Christianity, some bad. That means those who attain their holy house, I believe they not do anything bad. But I told you, like maybe more than 90% people, they not connected with this spiritual thing. They not try to learn what God say to listen and obey. The 90% people, they have no knowledge. The right knowledge means the knowledge of the God. They not practice. Not practice Muslim, not practice not Christian, not practice the Judaism. You know, so that's the problem. If all the people they practice, know any religious, they teach us. Go fight with other people, do harm the other people. I think it's not teach anyone.
No, that's a beautiful way of putting it too. One of the things that troubles me more than anything else in life is suffering. And it is inescapable. There's a lot of suffering in this world. I believe that a lot of people make horrible choices and cause other people to suffer. And I struggle with this a lot. I mean, if you're in the pandemic and you're trapped in your house because you're feeling like it's a trap and you're it's stressful to be isolated, then can you find peace even in a pandemic, even when you're isolated? And I believe that there can be peace even in isolation. I believe that you can find peace even when bad things are happening around you. And it's not the same thing as happiness, but but there can be peace even when bad things are happening. When I was studying to be a rabbi, and obviously this is a conversation that I have to have a lot. When you think back this week, the UN had declared many years ago that January 27th is Holocaust Remembrance Day, World Holocaust Remembrance Day. And when you think about all of the people, 6 million people, 6 million Jews, 12 million people were killed, and 11, between 11 and 12 million people were killed. When you think about, there were many good people who suffered in unspeakable ways. And today in our world, as you pointed out, there are many people who suffer, including during the pandemic, or people who are hungry and now they're losing their jobs anyway, and all these things. And you think about all of that suffering, and that I believe that they can find peace by doing things that are the rituals and the traditions and following God's word, the commandments. But sometimes it feels like it's not enough. You have children who are abused by the people that they are supposed to trust. You have many horrible situations in the world. So I can tell you that I still believe that there can be peace for you, even when life is terrible, even when there's a lot of suffering, because it has to do with that sense of completeness, a sense of you being okay with you and who you are. And if you're a person of faith, then it could be you with your relationship with God. I have to believe that even if you're not a person of faith, I still can believe, you can believe that there still can be peace, that you know that you are okay, that I still believe that God made you who you are and that God gave you this power to be able to feel that peace and know that for you, life is good because it's life. And even though there's terrible things going on around you, there are ways of seeing good. It's a horrible thing, and it's not something that you can answer in a short time here. It takes a little bit more than that. But it's something that I that stresses me every day. Much of my day is taken up with the worry about suffering, when, you know, the when bad things happen to good people kind of thing. And it's not always as simple as what we have been saying up until now.
You know, like it's two things. One is like individually peace, and what is the in the globe the peace, you know? So one is like individually peace, like what condition maybe if at that moment, if you see the what is the God say this moment, you know, like you are sick. So at that moment, what's supposed to do? What is anything? Suddenly you have to contentment in yourself. Every condition, if you feel this condition come from the God, your individual life, okay? And then you feel, even you like, maybe lack of money, is not good health, still you feel the peace inside. You know that many prophets before, you know, they have very sick, severe peace, their life, severe sickness, like Prophet Jonah, you know, he's sick, very sick, but he feel peace inside, you know. So anything going my life, it is I contentment and patient, contentment and patient, then I get the peace. If something going on, the bad situation, he have to stand up for that. He try to push back the bad thing, then he bring the peace. But unfortunately, if you see in the globe, is a lot of thing going on. One is like, there's also two things. One is like, you know, like the pandemic things, or maybe lack of food or other thing. It look like the natural from the God, you know. Like it look like the God is not happy with us. It look like not happy with us. That why he's saying this kind of situation. He created this kind of situation. I believe, and I think most of the people believe, you know, this kind of thing, like the pandemic, you know, it is God decided to do that.
Imam, I'm sorry. There was a moment when I couldn't hear what you said. So, are you saying that it feels like something like this pandemic is a kind of a punishment from God for that not obeying the commandments? Is that what you were saying, or you weren't saying that? I couldn't hear. Yeah. You said yes or no.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I feel like this can. You know, this is actually in a God saying anything. What I believe in the also the Quran, it is not the real punish. It is like then. A big warning, you know, like we are sleepy, you know, we are asleep. So God like put something, so we are awake, like I going the wrong way, so you put something, so you make U-turn. Like so in anything is bad happen in our life, in the Quran say, it is a punish, but it's a, you can return. And you can save the from the real punished, you know. It's real bad thing happened to your life, so you can save. If a small thing happened, so you can take a U-turn. So this thing happened to us because if you see the most of the people, they're not in the globe. They're not follow the commandment, of God. You know, yeah, all the religious, if you see the, even any, they not follow anything. They follow their desire. So God kind of not happy with us.
Sends us a warning.
This is a warning.
Yeah. Like a wake-up call, like you were saying, a warning.
Is peace hard to get? Is it hard to keep once you get it?
Everything you like, you have the maintenance. Everything you have the maintenance. Like, so you get the peace, and then you, how you get it peace? You do something good, then you get the peace. But you keep on doing the good, so you continue to get the peace. But if you get the peace, then you leave it there, not doing the good thing. So automatically, you get like you are working hard in the school and you get A plus 100. And then he said, oh, I get A plus 100. Now he leave the book. So he not get next time the A plus 100. Yeah? So you have to keep working. You have to keep working the good deed.
It's a good question. I think that it depended on what kind of peace we were talking about. But I think that when you think about it, you realize that that's what it is, that it does require. You're not done. You get peace and then you're done and then you're peaceful for the rest of your life. If you think about it, it's not going to work like that. And part of it is life is going to hit you with other things. And then you've got to maintain that kind of equilibrium and figure out what it takes to maintain the equilibrium. I think that like many other things, the more you do something, perhaps the easier it gets, and it may be easier to maintain the peace, or new things may hit you.
And it may be as long we are alive, we continue to do work, continue to do what the peace, and then they leave this world, then the peace forever, you know. But this life, you get the peace and you leave it, no, it's not will keep us.
Go ahead, Marcy. You're asking difficult questions. And at a time like this, when we're trying to find peace, it's especially powerful. I'm always conscientious of the people who are not feeling peace. You can take two people and put them in the same kind of situation, and you'll find that one person seems to take on all of it more calmly and the other one doesn't. And it's not always someone of faith. But sometimes it is someone of faith who feels calmer about life, and that sometimes it's about that. So this is my concern. I would like to tell you a little story that once we had some kids from one of the schools walking through our property, and on the way through, they scribbled on a lot of our building and our property, and they put swastikas and they put other things. And we caught them. It wasn't hard. There's security cameras and other ways of finding people who are doing damage to the property. And one of the kids shows up and says, and I said, you know, I see you, but we're missing one of the students hasn't shown up yet. And I appreciate that you came to apologize and help us clean the area, but the other one hasn't shown. And he sat there kind of with his arms crossed and his legs out in a teenage kind of a pose, like a whatever kind of a pose. And he said, you know, he's not going to come and apologize because he's an atheist. And I'm like, that word doesn't mean what you think it means. Like, just because you're an atheist, it doesn't mean you don't get to be a decent human being. You know, just because God isn't commanding you and you're not feeling this obligation doesn't mean that, you know, I think that the things that God commands us, some of them you maybe are outside of what a normal thought process are. Like, I have restrictions about what foods I eat, and so the keeping kosher, and other people may not have that restriction, and it may not have made sense when you first think about it, and it may not make sense at all. That's fine. I do it because God tells me to. That's one of the reasons. So that's fine. But the rules about taking care of each other, of, you know, feeding the poor and taking care of the, you know, all of those things, those are just human beings should do this. It shouldn't take a commandment to let you know. And so part of this is when we talk about peace, and even though we are doing this in about faith, even though we're doing this from within the faith community, there are lots of people who have stronger faith and weaker faith, or even no faith, let's say, but that doesn't stop you from being able to, A, do the right thing, and B, find peace, even without following the guidelines. So I just, that's a sidetrack that I wanted to say. It's okay. You can still be a decent human being. You can still find peace in your heart, even if you're not doing it because God said so. I love, if we're talking about faith, that faith gives us the guidelines of how to do it. And when you follow those guidelines, the steps should not be so hard. But then you get a story that I had one other little story about the first weekend that I was a rabbi, a plumber had to come to the house. And he said, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and I had troubled youth. I was drinking and I did things and I got into the army and they kicked me out of the army. But I found God. I watched TV. I saw this preacher on TV and I found God. But I'm in my 40s and I don't have a wife and I don't have a house. Where is God when I need God? And that's not how God works either, because I don't think that he's really doing things that God wants. He just decided to say, I believe. And then that's not enough. You have to do things also. So I'm sorry. Those are two stories. I wanted to say that take us into a slightly different version.
You know that different people looking peace, different place. Mm-hmm. Some people looking the peace, the money. Mm-hmm. They think I have more money, I get more peace. Some people looking the peace, authority. I have more authority, like, so I get more peace. But this is what I believe. I think this is not the peace. This is not the peace. Peace is not any connection with the money, not the power. How much you have the peace, but you cannot peace. You have the money, but you have no peace. Even some people, they cannot sleep. he cannot sleep. He take the medicine for sleep. You know, so there's no peace, you know? So that, you know, we're looking peace somewhere else. I tell you, God is the peace. He sent the peace. So we cannot get the peace. Nobody cannot get the peace until or unless he or she submit to God. And follow.
I really appreciate what you just said in that, because my next question was, is peace an essential part of your faith?
Yes, and I think that absolutely. I think we've explained it's an important part, and the Imam already explained how Islam means peace. So it's hard to.
But unfortunately, like, people not follow the Islam. Those mm-hmm. Muslim, they're like, I tell it like the good Muslim, bad Muslim. You know, by the name Muslim, according to our Quran, if you go deeply, by the name the Muslim, he's not the Muslim. By he born the Muslim house, but he's not the practice Muslim, he's not the Muslim. And that's, you know, Muslim means those who always submit to his will, that God will, you know. So a person, by he born the Muslim house, he not follow the God command, he not the pray, he's not the follow the Quran, he's not doing what supposed to do, he doing according to what will, but he is not the, he's not a real Muslim, he's not the real Muslim. So like then the good Muslim and bad Muslim. I think it is the every religious is that some people practice it, some people not practice it. But if something happened to bad, some Muslim by the name Muslim, but not real practice Muslim, he doing something wrong, it is, oh, this is the Muslim done. Mm. This is the like Christian done. This is the like Judaism done. But this is not, we looking some part and we blame the whole things. I need to judging the right thing also.
The Christian tradition of faith says that also, that it's much, you can't pick one thing and say, well, I do that, so I'm good. It's a broader thing. We not only have to seek peace, but we have to give peace to others. That's a part of the gift that we give of ourselves to others, is peace. And then peace is much broader, as you both are really beautifully talking about it, that it's a matter of forgiveness and love and compassion and participation in people's lives and being a part of the goodness of peace rather than waiting for peace to fall on you.
And it comes from
our relationship with God and our relationship with others. It doesn't come from the actions or the goings on around us. Even though your plumbing needed a plumber, that's not a good, peaceful thing. And yet you could live out peace in that interchange with him and cause an atmosphere of peace. So in the Christian tradition, it also is saying the same thing about peace. I can't believe the more we talk about this, the more I see how the path of God in our lives are so similar and can be worked out in a way of the individual, as the imam is saying, and as the group, as we've been talking about too.
It's not surprising when you realize that that's part of why we call us the A-team, because it's the Abrahamic tradition that some people say that Abraham was the father of monotheism. And I like to point out that I do not believe that the first human was not monotheistic. I don't believe that the first human was praying to lots of gods. I think the Adam, the first human, had a personal relationship with God and knew there was only one God. And then 10 generations later with Noah, that Noah had a relationship with the one God. I don't think that Abraham was the first monotheist, but I do think that we like to say he was the first ethical monotheism, that he began a tradition of having morality and ethical values as the foundation of being able to interact with other human beings, and we all take his legacy. There are slight differences, but I think that you'll find that for the most part, it's that core, that foundation of the ethical and the monotheism are part of what we all share, I think. So I am, in Judaism, I represent the oldest sibling in this tradition. And Imam, you represent the youngest sibling in the tradition. So don't you, and sometimes there's, in every family, there's family differences of how we remember some stories of what happened in our, even if we're all growing up in the same house, we remember it differently. So sometimes we take our stories and we do different things with them. But don't you feel that that's part of it, is that we all have the same kind of ethical foundation? Thanks to Father Abraham.
Yes, sir.
I have one question that I'd like to end our conversation today, because we're just about out of time. And that is, how does your leaders of faith in your congregations help your congregation seek and achieve peace? Again, that's more of a personal question from your congregation and your particular faith on how we seek and achieve peace in the community.
So in my congregation, we are always looking for ways to try to help, to be helpful in the community, whether it's helping with, as I mentioned before, a food bank situation, or the being able to help others is a very important part of the Jewish tradition. So wherever we see that we can be of help, we try to be of help, whether it's education or as I say, there's poverty. There's a lot of poverty in our local community and trying to help with that. And so being able to look for opportunities to help, and then sharing those opportunities with the congregation, that's been a blessing and a way that I think that we find peace in our community. That's one of the ways, as a community situation, if that's what you're talking about.
Okay.
It is same thing, you know, like we encourage any kind of situation is happening, like, you know, And actually, this is like a way that our prophet, peace be upon him, when he arrived at Medina, you know, when he migrated from Mecca to Medina, there's also not only the Muslim, the other religious people, the Judaism, the Christianity is there. And he working all together. They're working all together. So this is the way we need to, like, sometime within our own community and sometimes like abroad community, like, you know, something happened. We have to parts of the our community. So we have to take care of each other. Then I told before, like, you know, if I'm eating, my neighbor is not eat, I not get the real peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how we can get the peace? Like, your house is good, but your neighbor house is burning. You should be worried, you know, you should be worried that fire can come and catch your house. Good people, you know, but your neighbor, someone is not good, you know. So maybe they do something with you. So we have always good things sharing with them, you know. So that way, and try to bring to them the good path, you know. So that way they will be good, that they not harm you. You know, so that I'm saying, like, helping them, if they have no food, for example. So you not take care of them, maybe they come and rob out your house. Yes? Mm. So that way, you know, if you not do good way, they are take you bad way. Mm. So that's then that we not get the peace because they're selfish. You know, people are most of the time they're selfish. They take care of themselves, they not take care of the other people.
We had situations in the past few years, Marcy, where our communities needed things, where one of the mosques was attacked, and the Jewish community, the Christian community all came out to the mosque. And I'll tell you a sweet story about that, if I may, because maybe people who are listening are not very familiar with our neighbors here who are Muslim, but we heard that there were people who had put posters that said go home and horrible things on one of the mosques. And so the Jewish community, the Christian community wanted to help. And so the mosque, the people at the mosque said, come to us on this evening. And we tried to come and we tried to feed them, to help them and to rebuild. And instead they fed us. So it was a double blessing, it felt like. We felt very, very welcome to be there. And we felt there was a sense of peace in knowing that the world was broken and we had to come and try to fix it. And we fixed it by being kind to each other. And there was something very beautiful and peaceful about that. And so I don't remember if you were in town when that happened.
I was there.
You were there. So it was just beautiful. And we've done that a few times already. Unfortunately, there have been attacks on faith-based. So it's a lovely thing that we get to be there for each other sometimes as well. And when we help. So I really appreciate this. I learned an awful lot about what the Muslim faith has to do with that. I didn't even think about the fact that the name of it has peace built into it. I love that.
I would like to do something a little different in the ending of our time together today. I feel so very blessed just to have had this conversation with the both of you. And in how we have described peace and what's in our hearts about peace has caused peace to be created in me. I'm going to have a great peaceful day because of the both of you. And I appreciate this time together. And if it would be okay with the both of you, well, how I would like to end this is for you to give a blessing from your faith to us. Yes, Imam.
Yes, I think, like, you know, we get more peace if we recognize that each other is better, you know, because that way our leader should be respected and listen each other, you know, that way, and this thing does not keep between us. If also this thing convey the, our gathering, our people, like leader should be convey the, our people. So that, oh, this guy had the same people, like the same, our, most of the same thing, you know, maybe like three brothers, but, or mm-hmm. like four brothers or five brothers, but it's like, it's most of the same thing. But you know, the, our, I think the leader did not encourage to recognize the other faith people, you know. If they try to convey them, I think that will like people, those, at least those who attend the gathering, they will recognize, you know, they are like us, they are like human beings, good people, you know. So when it should be attack them, when it should be and harm them, they are like us.
Is there, Imam, is there a saying? I know that in Judaism and in Christianity, there are a few ways of saying this, but I'm going to take the one that comes from Torah that says, "Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha," that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Is there a similar quote in the Quran, to love your neighbor as yourself?
Yeah, actually, you know that our prophet, you know, very emphasized about the neighbor, you know. So you not complete Muslim. No, if your neighbor is not saved from you, you not the Muslim. Mm-hmm. That means you not the complete Muslim. No, you can't. You have to take care of your neighbor. And I also say, you know, you have been in the cook the food, you know, you have to share with your neighbor. How beautiful that, you know.
It's beautiful.
In the Christian tradition, there is a blessing of the Lord be with you, and let his face shine upon you.
That was what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. Well, we're of one heart and one mind in that then.
That's the one I was going to use, because it ends with peace.
Yes, yes.
So in from the book of Numbers, it says, Yivarech echa Adonai v'yishmerecha, may God bless you, may God protect you. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chuneka, may the light of God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. It says, may God's face be lifted up to you. And somebody said to me one time, why should God's face be lifted to you? I mean, isn't God kind of everywhere or above you? And I said, I think that God has things that God looks up to you about, and you have to live up to that potential. So, may God's face be lifted up to you, and may God grant you peace.
Thank you. I think the greatest thing that we could say to one another now is shalom.
Salam alaikum.
Salam.
Salam alaikum.
Shalom. Peace be upon you.
Peace be upon you.
Or peace be upon y'all, I think.
Yes, that's it.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Red River Radio, our staff or advisory board, or the LSU Shreveport. This program copyright 2021.